presence of God to be revealed in the midst of his people. There are three dimensions of the presence of God as revealed from Scripture. Hallelujah. The first is his omnipresence. And then Psalmist said, where can I run from your presence? So that dimension of his presence is everywhere. But then there is another dimension of his presence that comes in response to the gathering of his people. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there in their midst. But there is a third dimension of his presence called his Shekinah. His presence that comes in response to hunger. It's a dimension of his presence that comes from the conscious invitation of God's people. It's not enough to know that God is everywhere. Are you listening to me? There is an atmosphere we seek to create every time we bring the word. Because the Bible said it is only the spirit and the bride that can tell the word to come. So every time you want the word of God to be manifest in the presence of the people, it is the bride, the church, in partnership with the Holy Spirit that invites the word to be made manifest in the presence of God's people. He said, the spirit and the bride say, come. So when we raise songs like this, we're not just singing special numbers. It's an expression. I repented from preaching and ministry many years ago. And I made up my mind that anywhere I have the opportunity to share, the first assignment is to create that atmosphere. It's a cloud of his presence. This is not just about man of God on stage. For he responds. He cannot stand the worship of his people. I'm really not talking about worship. I just feel there is a need to put that because for a lot of people, when we come into God's presence, number one, we don't even know what to expect. Either we have come just to watch men and see what can happen, or we have come to watch a presentation by the worship team and so on and so forth. But worship is not just, it's not just about singing. Hallelujah. The Bible says, he that cometh unto God must first believe that he exists. It's possible to worship God without a consciousness that he is present in your midst. That's why I say, he that comes to God must first, it didn't say must first sing a song, must first believe that he exists. And then that he is the rewarder. That means the kingdom of God operates in a reward system. When you invoke his presence, he will honor your sacrifice by revealing that dimension of himself that you are invoking. And so when we call him king, then we compel his royalty to be revealed in the midst of his people. When we call him the healer, we compel his Rapha dimension to be made manifest in the midst of his people. This is the essence of worship, to create an atmosphere that invokes the dimension of God that you would want to see. He told Moses, he said, I am. In other words, I am so multifaceted, it will take eternity to reveal all of my components. However, as you walk with God and in the presence of his majesty in worship, you are able to open up the dimension of him that you would want to see manifest. So every time we sing, we call him names that compel a response. That means your worship does not end until God responds. Now, I'm not talking about falling down and standing up, because for most people in the church, that is what we perceive to be the response of God. The response of God is a dramatic manifestation of the Holy Ghost in the life of a man that will leave you with an imprint of his nature, and men will know you came out of the secret place. It doesn't matter what format it comes. It's not just about falling down and rising. It's about a mark that the more you lift your hands and worship, an activity is happening in your spirit. And that what you are calling God, listen, because we are the reflection of him, every time you call God holy, there is an activity of his holiness that is falling.
astonished in your inside, so that at the end of that song you have conformed more into that dimension. So if what you are invoking about God does not happen to you, there was no contact in the spirit. Are you listening to me? So when you call him Sarkin Salama, you are invoking that dimension of him as Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Suddenly as you sing that song, the turbulence in your life begins to melt down. There is a majestic peace that that dimension should bring. If that happens, then you truly worship, because he says he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So every time you're singing that he is able, the spirit of faith is supposed to rise out of that song, because suddenly God begins to work in your spirit and bring you into a consciousness of his ability. As you begin to raise that song, the Holy Ghost begins to breathe through your mind, and you see how he calmed the sea, how that he did supernatural things. And then you know that he's able, that he has not lost his power. The problem with believers is that we do not relate with the songs that we sing in worship, because they are not out of... That's why, you see, believers that don't have experience not truly worship God. Hallelujah. Because true worship is born from the product of an experience. Hallelujah. There are many people who are too innocent. There is no scar that compels you to worship. You have not had the need to see him as Savior. You have not had the need to see him as provider. Every time the ancient wanted to sing songs, they began to remind God of the things that he did. And then that experience was what was encapsulated in their songs. Hallelujah. Are you receiving something tonight? So I just felt like putting that spirit of worship, so that we don't just sit down and say, well, I'm not a chorister, you just come and preach and do whatever you have to do, let's share the grace and go. No. The first thing that should happen to you tonight is the spirit of worship. That craving for his presence. That his presence does not just come because you are a Christian. No. There are three things in the Bible that compel the presence of God to be manifest in the midst of God's people. Number one is obedience. And when Moses had finished building the tabernacle according to pattern, then the glory of God came and mantled that place. Exodus 40. Second is sacrifice. The Bible makes us to understand that when there was a lamb of sacrifice upon the altar, Solomon began to sing and he said, now arise, O God, come to your resting place. He said, you and the ark of your might. He began to invoke the presence of God in the midst of the nation of Israel. And what happened? The Bible says that the glory of God came down, licked up the sacrifice, and his Shekinah filled the building. Number three is worship. Every time we lift our voices in worship, no angel has been permitted to take the worship of the saints. They only take the prayers of the saints according to the book of Revelation as an incense. But when you worship, he himself inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah.
Sarkin Salama, 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 Nina Kawa, we are both Sarkin Salama. Salama, Salama, Salama.
worship you true from our hearts. In the name of your Son Jesus Christ. In 1 minute, can you just worship him? Sing a song from your spirit. Just in 1 minute and we'll sit down.
The Lord of Lords,
you're
the Ancient of Days.
You are holy,
Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Please sit down quickly. God bless you. Thank you so much. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, when you get born again and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, hallelujah, I just want to share briefly on how a man becomes fit to be used by God and to create an impact. Hallelujah. We're talking of touching heaven and changing earth. So very briefly, I'll just share with us the progression in grace. How that God begins to walk in the life of a man. How does God bring a man to that point where he becomes usable? Because a lot of people teach that all you need to be is available. No. Being available alone is not enough for God to use a man. You must be available and you must be usable. The Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every man that named the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And then he says, but in a great house. This is where the journey starts. There is a great house. He says, there are several kinds of vessels in that house. Vessels of gold, of silver, of clay, and of wood. He says some vessels, for whatever reason, have become vessels unto honor. And certain vessels have become vessels of honor. So it's not enough to be a vessel. He said there are some vessels that are unto honor, and there are some vessels that are unto dishonor. And then it gives us the condition. That means it's not God's responsibility to make you a vessel of honor. It is your responsibility to contend. He said, if a man shall separate himself, he said, that man shall be a vessel unto honor, meet for the master's use. Hallelujah. Now, when you get born again, you give your heart to the Lord. Make Jesus Lord of your life. What happens is that there is a union between your spirit and the spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Now, but this is where a lot of believers stop. Sadly, there are all kinds of teachings circulating the church of God. Just teaching that once you're born again, you give your life to Christ. Hallelujah. That's all right. Everything is okay. No, sir. That's only the beginning. This is where a lot of believers miss it. This is why not many people are usable. Hallelujah. People just give their heart to the Lord and say, okay, I'm born again. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's it. But then there's more. Say after me, there's more. It's only the beginning. Hallelujah. Because we're talking about two kingdoms here. One kingdom is called the kingdom of darkness, where Satan rules. There is a way of life. There is a culture. There is a principle, a law that governs this kingdom. When that translation occurs, it only happens in the realm of the spirit. The Bible says there is a translation from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. But it doesn't stop there. Hallelujah. Then the Holy Ghost comes. Here's where the Pentecostals come in now. The Pentecostals come in and then you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Ba, 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 you shake and you fall down. And we get up, dust our clothes, and They say, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? They say, yes. And that's the story. They've taken one step ahead of the Orthodox. And then they turn and have the guts and the effrontery tree to talk about other people, not realizing they themselves have not even started the journey. The coming of the Holy Spirit into the life of a believer. Listen to me. We have been wrongly taught by preachers. It's not the beginning of ministry. It's the beginning of the journey that leads a man to that point where you assume a posture in the Spirit, where you can be usable by God. Hallelujah. So when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, hallelujah, several things happen. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the consciousness of the fact that you are now beginning to walk and live in the Spirit. But here's where a lot of people forget that there is the old man. Paul is speaking in Romans 7 and he begins to speak. This is Paul the Apostle, already in ministry, but he begins to communicate his frustration to the Roman church. He said, with my body, with my spirit, I serve the Lord. However, in my body, I see the manifestation of another law. In other words, even Paul, born again, there have been contentions of laws. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is where my journey starts. The Bible makes us to understand that Adam knew his wife and she gave birth to one called what? Cain. And the Bible says Cain was a hunter. He had to do a lot of things with the forest. But we began to see the manifestation of a strange and foreign spirit called Cain. Are you following me, please? Such that they came out from the same womb. But the Bible says, by their fruit we shall know them. The kind of fruit that was being manifested in the life of Cain did not look like that of one who was under the jurisdiction of the governing authority of God. Hallelujah. And then came Abel. Theologians argue that they are twins. That's not our concern this night. Whether they are twins or not, the most important thing is they came out of the same womb. I'm going somewhere with this expression. Two people coming out of the same womb, but we see the manifestation of two kinds of spirits. Are you following me, please? Now, this is what Paul begins to, it was an adumbration of the work of the man of the flesh and the man of the spirit. Are you listening to me now? And Paul now begins to communicate that like Cain and Abel, while Abel seeks to serve the Lord in spirit, out of the same body, I see the manifestation of another nature and another type of man contending with that life that I want to become. Hallelujah. That's why you can see a preacher born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Suddenly he stands and his eye goes to this beautiful lady. And what happens? While Abel is manifesting, there is a manifestation of Cain, the old man. Hallelujah. Regardless of whether the gifts of the Spirit are manifesting, one of the things God must deliver the church with is this knowledge of equating the gifts of the Spirit to maturity. Listen to me. That the gift of the Spirit are operating in the life of a man does not equal spiritual maturity. I've seen people who got born again in meetings, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to lay hands on people immediately. Suddenly they got up and started one minute and started running, not realizing that the gift of the Spirit is called a gift, but there is a character, there is a definition of the Spirit. That one does not come by impartation. There is a walking in grace that brings you to that dimension. But in a great house, there are different kinds of vessels. Are you following me tonight? So Paul begins to communicate his frustration. When you get born again, your faculties, the first ministry of the Holy Ghost, is to bring you to that point where you begin to see the need to conform to the life and the image of Christ. Hallelujah. He begins to make the word of God come alive. He activates your organs of interaction in the spirit so that you are able to feel and sense the motions of the Holy Ghost. You know when he is grieved. You know when he is happy. You know when he is leading you. Hallelujah. The Bible never said, for as many who are filled with the Holy Ghost, they are the sons of God. It says, as many as are led. This is what we'll be exploring. The word led there means as many. It has the same Greek word, the same root word with the word baptism. As many who have come under the governing influence. that the Holy Ghost has taken hold of every part of their lives and their faculties and become the sons of God. And the word son there is not the word technon. Technon talks of a child. But weos talks of one who by reason of knowledge and experiential work has attained the same status with his father. Hallelujah. So that we come into that point where we can represent Christ and be his ambassadors here on earth. The journey does not just start in getting born again and getting filled with the Holy Spirit. There is more. There is a track record. What happens? When you begin to walk with God, he begins to reveal to you. Because you see, in the journey of your Christian faith, you can choose how far you want to go. You can get to a point where you tell God, I'm tired. Because for every step, you will need to lay down something. Death is the language of progression in the spirit. Paul speaking says, when he got to a realm called Galatians 2:20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And this life that I live in the flesh, that is the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So you come to a point where death must work in you for life to continue. This is not a kind of message that is appreciated in the church. When you truly want to carry the authentic presence of God and change your community and people around you, there is a degree of death. And you see, you can fake miracles, you can fake prophecy, but you cannot fake the dealings of the Spirit. Because for every level you pass through, there is a badge in the Spirit that is given. Principalities and powers know. Every time you say, let the sick rise, they watch to see that badge in the Spirit. And if you do not have it like the sons of Sceva, they say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But where do you stand? Because we see that there is a malpractice that was going on there. You are claiming to be a man of God, but the symbol of the dealing of the Spirit. He leaves you with a mark that distinguishes you. Hallelujah. When you begin that journey, he begins to examine your faculties, building character and bringing you to a point where you are not only filled with the Holy Spirit, you begin to permit the Holy Spirit to influence your life and every faculty of your life. And to the degree to which you allow him to reign, that is the degree to which Jesus becomes Lord. The becoming of Jesus becoming Lord in your life is not what happens one day. Correct? It's a progression. Every time you mention his lordship, there is a doing that confirms it. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and will not do? So there is a doing that confirms his lordship in the life of a man. So that kind of Christianity that just ends in praying in tongues is a fake Christianity. Your Christianity must translate into a degree of death that releases Christ and his power through you to affect people. That when men see you, you are an epitome of a man who has been dead to himself. You are only alive to Christ. Are you getting blessed? And especially for worshipers, I say it every time. Whenever you stand to worship, you reveal your depth in the spirit to people through your songs. They are able to discern the realm from which you are communicating your songs. That's why some people sing songs, and as you are clapping for them, the song dies with them there. You can't even remember what they sang. But someone can lift up one song, and it will leave an imprint in your spirit for days. You may not understand the whole wordings, but just one, it may just be one word. Hallelujah. As many as are led. When the Holy Ghost takes hold of your life. You see, you can be manifesting the gift of the Spirit, and it can be so deceitful in church. Right now you watch everything. I mean, once you can throw one or two people on the floor, you are just a man of God, prophet or apostle or whatever people want to call. All those very deceitful things. Hallelujah. But there is no conformity to the reality of the life of Christ. And he said, let your light so shine, not before stones, before who? Men. That means the outworkings of the Spirit is supposed to be to translate in a way and manner that your environment can relate with. He said that the entrance of thy word giveth light. That means as the Holy Spirit begins to use the word to walk in you, he brings you to a point where your life and culture changes literally, and men can relate. Hallelujah. Where you become a man of the secret place, you carry an atmosphere of glory around you. You perform more miracles unconsciously than you do consciously. That you are a dead man, you lose the ability to respond to criticisms because you have been furnished in the place of training. Many men of God who are running up and down trying to explain themselves is because they have not grown. He said, if thy strength fails you in the day of battle, that strength is small. That's why it's good to build capacity in the spirit. He told the prophet, eat, for the journey is far. When he ate, he slept again. He woke him. He said, eat. And the Bible says he went in the strength of that bread 40 days. Are you getting blessed tonight? We're going to pray shortly. There is a manifestation of Cain and Abel. So it's not enough to be, it's not enough to be a preacher or a man of God or a worshiper. It's not just about the voice. It's not just about a willingness to love the house of God. You must be able to subject yourself to the dealings of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That he brings you to that point where you become true. You become tried. You become proven. Let me tell you, you will never walk in authentic spiritual power until you have been proven by the Lord himself. Right now, we use seed to do everything in church. A man's whole spiritual experience, you buy it with seed. You go and ask Simon in the Bible. The Bible says he was born again. But when he saw that through the laying on of the hands, the Spirit of God came, he wanted to offer money. He said, yeah, thy money perish with you. Many people see a man of God can just run and say, ah, Pastor Samson, please, I covet the grace of God upon your life. You ask him the days of travail in the Spirit. You ask him the times of proving in the Spirit. All the days of my appointed time, I will wait until my change comes. The Bible says, and the man John remained in the wilderness until his season of appearing. Hallelujah. You must allow God to walk in you, to prove you, to bring you to that point. Many believers do not have a message because they don't have experiences. When people say God has called them, I ask them, what is your experience? Because your experience is your message. You don't just guess and say, I'm a pastor, I'm an apostle, I'm a this. As you begin to walk with the Holy Spirit, his dealings begins to fashion you in a manner and an order. You begin to gain a particular shape that relates to an office he has put in the body. Hallelujah. Authentic Christianity is that which has a testament of yieldedness of spirit. We live in a day and generation where everybody wants to be in charge of his own world. Glo tells us, rule your world. You are in control of your life. Take your destiny. Activate the inner you. Those devilish, demonic, and new age teachings must be kicked out of the church, because we were created to be inadequate without God. The Bible says, he makes all things beautiful in his time, and he has put eternity. It's a realm and a vacuum he put in man. Nothing else can fill it. It's his principle of luring you into deeper hunger, so that when you stand arrogant and pompous with your accomplishments, that realm of eternity swallows up whatever you have done in time, and it reduces you with a fresh hunger for more of him. Hallelujah. We have many people who are doing things in the kingdom. There's so much motion, but there's no impact. The reason is because they jump the dealings of the Spirit. They are looking for lucrative ministry, or whatever we call it. Cars, houses, prosperity. Wonderful. There is a provision in redemption for these things. But let me tell you, that's not God's priority for your life. His priority is that you come into the point where you gain structure in the Spirit, where you can become an entity, an object where he can legislate in this earth realm through you. Bible says, and thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established. It's not because you are a Christian. It's because you have gained power with God and men. Hallelujah. So you raise one song of worship out of the depth of that sacrifice and experience, and you see the ripple effect. It will rattle the gates of hell, because you come as one with authority, one with power. So he said, as many who will allow themselves to come under these dealings and these experiential trainings with the Spirit, they are the ones who will eventually be called the matured ones in the Spirit. They are the ones who will be given power. And the Bible says in Romans 8 from verse 18, it says, I come to terms with the fact that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in you. Verse 19 says, for the endless expectation of creation are waiting for, not everybody, those category of people that have brought themselves under the governing influence of the Holy Spirit. And say, Lord, if it is for 10 years you are keeping me in this dealing, I will remain there. No pressure whatsoever. Walk in me. Let me be thoroughly furnished so that when you launch me, I will be an object of praise. There are many churches in Nigeria. New ones are starting every day. Go to Abuja. This auditorium is big. We can have 5 churches there. This door, you see all ushers. You don't even know which church they belong to. When you are coming, they say, is it Praise Cathedral this way? And you see people fighting, but there is no impact. You know why? Because we are just doing jamboree and ceremonies. Let me tell you something. That old wine is soon finishing. I've prophesied it. The Bible says in the wedding of Cana, a type of what God is doing in this season. It says Jesus was in that feast, but they did not recognize him. But the rulers were there sitting and doing ministry. But Jesus was there and nobody recognized him. But something happened. And that's a type of what is happening in our generation. The Bible says that old wine finished. They didn't even know. They were carried away by man of God. On TV, media, everywhere. Big congregations. But the order was changing. They did not know. But the Bible says only a few group of people knew. He called them servants. He didn't call them apostles and prophets. They were the ones who ran to the master. While they were doing business with the master in the secret, the rulers were there jumping. And Jesus told them, now it's time for us to present the wine. He told them, put 6 pots, fill it with water. Because the new wine will come as a byproduct of the word, not magic. That was why it was first water before it became wine. All kinds of magic and drama and jargons going on in our TV. And because many believers are shallow, not deep in the things of the Spirit, we are gullible and we accept every kind of thing. Because a prophet comes and says, this is a boy, he has a red shirt, does not mean he's of God. Moses threw his rod, it became a snake. He didn't impress Pharaoh. Pharaoh threw his own rod too, and it became 3 times what Moses did once. There were 3 snakes there for one of Moses. Are you getting blessed? My assignment tonight is to put a passion in your heart for God. It's not just for you to receive anointing and go and change your generation. Let me tell you, I believe in impartation. I believe in mantle transfer. But there are certain anointings that come as a result of your experiential walking. It's a well you must dig yourself. No seed can give you that kind of grace. You must have a record that is customized to the dealings of God in your life. Are you listening, please? I want us to be men and women of power, genuine power with God. And then one man will be enough to transform a whole city. There are many believers, but there are few revivalists. There are many tongue talkers. There are few people who make imprint for the kingdom. And this is because we are not interested in allowing him build us. Listen, read God's generals. Men. One man shakes UK. One man shakes America. One man shakes a territory. These are men. In the days of Elijah, he made himself so available that he became the headquarters of kingdom activities here in the earth. He said, there shall be no rain except at my word. Can you be that kind of vessel that when God wants to do something in his area or in Nigeria, when he's scanning through faithful people, he can look at you and say, yes, we can find a vessel unto honor. Hallelujah. As many
as are led by the Spirit. My prayer every day is, oh Lord, do not let this deceitfulness of ministry destroy and kill my life. The greatest enemy of success. It's not failure. Failure has always made men successful. Hallelujah. When men begin to call you apostle, prophet, whatever it is, all those things, they are very deceitful. Because they can make you jump your classes with the Spirit and you will refuse the dealings. While men are clapping, God is just watching you and saying you are on your own. You will still be healing the sick. He said, in that day we shall say we heal the sick in your name. And God did not say it's a lie. He just said, depart from me because you are workers of iniquity. So tonight we are going to pray. Hallelujah. We're going to enter 5 or 10 minutes of worship. Hallelujah. Then I believe that God's servant, Pastor Samson, will be ministering to us. I trust that you will be an awesome time with the Spirit. That you will live with a mark. Something upon your life. An anointing that will call you into the secret place. We have anointing for prosperity. Anointing for different things. But I don't see any bottle among those many bottles that are being sold that is responsible for spiritual hunger and a true passion for God. We have the one for barrenness. We have the one for all kinds. I'm not against anointings and all of that. I'm against trade in the church and those demonic things that we do. Hallelujah. So we are going to pray. And our prayer is going to be, oh Lord, I subject myself. There are many of you who love God until he gets to the place of marriage. He's not Lord here. Ah, God, you can't be Lord here. There are many of us who love God until he gets to the place of your ego. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something with the workings of God. You see, the Bible says, God examined the heart of man, and here was his conclusion. He said, the heart of man is desperately wicked. What does that mean? God is saying, even the best of man, you see Apostle Joshua Selman laughing. He said his heart is desperately wicked except by the mercy and the grace of God. This is God's verdict. No argument. Hallelujah. David, a man who refused to kill Saul because he felt it was an abomination to touch God's anointed, did not know that enshrined in his heart was the desire to kill because of lust. See, there are certain things until you are lifted to certain realms before they are activated. You may not know that those tendencies are enshrined in you. The first day they gave you mic to lead prayer meeting, suddenly you felt like a man of God. You felt what power looks like, and suddenly you begin to derail. That's the last time you visited the secret place. The first time you sang, and the guys clapped and said, pretty lady, pretty voice. You suddenly discovered a dimension you did not realize. That's why I'm fine and I have a nice voice. Cain took over and Abel died. Hallelujah. The first time you stretched your hands and someone shouted and fell, whether it was God doing his thing or you, at least you were on stage at that time. And so you bragged and said you are the one who did it. And as a result, what happened? You left the secret. First day, they lodge you in a 5-star hotel. Ah! You said, you mean there is a possibility to live this dimension of life? Tonight, we are going to pray. Because many people are disappointing God. We have criticized our fathers, but many of us are already becoming like what we are criticizing. You see, because that the Bible says, water that is stolen looks sweet. When you carry things up, when you jump process in the spirit, it looks enjoyable because you look faster than others. Hallelujah. Tonight I'm provoking you because we are going to pray. Just in 5 or 10 minutes. No bowing of our heads. We are going to cry unto God and say, Lord, it's true that you are Savior. It's true that you are the errand boy that brings prosperity and power. But tonight I submit to your sovereign authority and I give you all that you become King of Kings and Lord of Lords, taking charge of the total circumference of my life, that everything I will do will be at the impulse of the Spirit. At that point, you are ready to begin a journey that will introduce you to power like you have never seen, prosperity like you have never seen. So that even when a man goes to steal and wants to sell the car, and as he's giving you the car, the Jeep is 80 million, and the Lord tells you this was a stolen car, you don't just say, Lord, we will sanctify it. It's not what enters a man that defiles him. You know, we have all kinds of scripture that are responsible for managing our lusts and appetites. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed? And for us worshipers, where are the worshipers? You're a worshiper. Let me see your hands. Don't be ashamed. I'm your friend. Hallelujah. You need this word more than ever. Because the days that we are coming in is the worship ministry that will lead the way for the revival that is coming. To be as it were in the days of Jehoshaphat. Instead of the men of war in front, he said, put the worshippers in front. Hallelujah. But you cannot be a true worshiper by just running and all you are thinking about is studio. Everybody just gets up from anywhere, receives his inspiration anywhere, and just run and say, I think I need to wax an album. Go and sit down. The best way to be in ministry is to forget about ministry and concentrate the presence. The greatest publicity of a believer is to remain in the secret place. For when the season comes, God will speak and say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He passed the class and he will command the world to hear you. Are you listening to me? Come to churches and see the worship people gisting outside. They are talking about film, Star Wars. They now say, it's time for this group, and they all run. They come and test the drums. Forgetting that Satan was an archangel in charge of worship, you make yourself vulnerable if you want to step into the worship ministry without fire and grace. That's why you see a brother who just finishes singing now, and then no fire, no nothing. After 2 weeks, you produce your album, you are happy, and everything dies with you there, you hold it in. But there are certain people like Don Moe. They sang some songs when some of us were toddlers. Until today, when you listen to those songs, technology didn't change it, because it didn't come from a realm that was earthbound. It was not a desire to make money. It was a depth in the spirit to communicate realities. So every time you are depressed, the Holy Ghost recommends their songs because they were faithful students. Let God be able to recommend your song. We are tired of storytellers. You have not written the second stanza. You are looking for marketers. See all this nonsense. And right now, we have all kinds of people getting inspiration from everywhere. Say, it doesn't matter. Timaya, what's his own name? And all those things. You have those songs in your phone, delete them right away. Don't tell me it does not matter. The Bible says, what fellowship has righteousness got to do with lawlessness? And what communion has light got to do with darkness? Either you are for God or you are not for him. Period and full stop. There is no being in between. As many as will pay that price to come under the governing influence of the Spirit and will reject everything that is not consistent with God and his ways, he said, they will be the son. So, being the son of God in this respect is not an impartation. You don't get it by laying on of hands. No communion service will give you that realm. It's a journey. But let me tell you, happy are you when you pay the price and get to that realm. Because God will honor you in a way that your lifetime outside him will not give you. Next time you see a man who is truly anointed, respect the sacrifice in the spirit that brought him to that realm. Are you ready to pray and cry unto God? Hallelujah. Rise up on your feet. My job is to stay us in prayer for 5 minutes. A genuine prayer declaring our yieldedness to the King of Kings. And I hand the mic over to God's servant and he'll minister to us. Because I believe that there are some people that God will need to ignite in fire and power. Lift your hands and begin to worship. Say, Lord, thank you. I've been a Christian, but Lord, it's not enough. Yes, I've healed the sick, but it's not enough. I'm a worshiper. I'm the band leader in my church, but it's not enough. Lift your hands. Go ahead and pray.
Say, Lord, not for falsehood. I want to carry the authentic grace and fire and power of the Spirit. Let me make contact with heaven that I may touch and change her. Lord, that I become an ambassador, able to legislate on behalf of heaven, that you can recommend sinners to me, that you can recommend the sick to me, you can recommend the oppressed to me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, lift your voice and pray and say, everything that is of the flesh, it will die in your glory. I walk in a life of true holiness and power and grace. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, call his name.
John G. Lake, Smith Whitford, generals who shook their generation. They have gone to heaven and joined the cloud as a testament to our generation. He says, seeing then that we are surrounded by those clouds, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth easily beset us. Lift your voice and pray and say, Lord, I lay it aside. I lay aside pride. I'm anointed, but help me with arrogance. Help me with lust. Help me with unforgiveness. In the name of Jesus, I sing well. I'm anointed. I have healed the sick. But help me, O God. Let the Holy Ghost take control of my mind. Take control of my life. Take control of my faculties. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I subject myself to the dealings of the Spirit. I subject myself to the prudings of the Spirit. No matter how long, I will wait. I'm not in a rush. I'm not in a hurry. No pressure will push me out of the dealings of the Lord. Make sure you're praying. Say, Lord, I dedicate my hands. I dedicate my body. I dedicate my voice. You have given me skill. I dedicate it. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. My songs belong to you. The anointing belongs to you. My ministry belongs to you. My life, my fame belongs to you. I have no other business except to exalt his majesty. I have no other business except to see his kingdom come. I have no other business except to see his glory revealed. Pray, say, Lord, I become an ambassador to release miracles, to release signs. Then the eyes of the blind will open and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The cripples will live with power. There will be a manifestation of supernatural signs, wonders, prosperity, grace, the invasion of power. Demons will cry and say, I know who thou art, the Son of the Living God.
Whatever people, whether it's your beauty, whatever it is, your talent, you're going to say, Lord, you are Lord of it. I have no business except to see your kingdom come through it. No amount of money will make me leave you. No amount of fame or relationship or power. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, you have my heart. For sure, you keep my heart. No degree of fame, no degree of power, no degree of influence.
Shara,